Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Tom Fairbanks, Tom engineering and producing our show. Speaking of Fairbanks, Tom spent quite a bit of time in the broadcast industry in Fairbanks, didn't you, Tom?
Yes, sir.
And is it true that 50 degrees below zero, it's a dry cold?
I'll tell you.
We say a dry heat.
I found that the cold in Fairbanks in the wintertime was easier to take than in Anchorage because of the lack of humidity.
Ooh, yeah.
Humidity makes a difference, especially if it's accompanied with a breeze.
Well, it is. We're complaining. Some of us complain when we go around 30 degrees over the past couple of nights. So I will prefer this climate over Fairbanks, certainly, in the wintertime. All right, it is the Buckmaster Show on this Friday, the 27th of January, 2017, and we do re-air the Buckmaster Show. Our Friday edition re-airs on KVOI on Saturday afternoon at 4, so you may be listening on Saturday afternoon. So if you are, hope your weekend is going well so far. We are live Monday through Friday on Buckmaster at noon to 1. And a shout out to some of our media friends who support our work at buckmastershow.com. They prominently display a link to my website on their websites, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, The Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun, TucsonLifestyle.com, Southern Arizona News Examiner, and the Three Sonorans, all are supporters of our work here. Our Friday Focus interview today, City Manager for the City of Tucson, Michael Ortega. Mr. Ortega, how are you today?
Doing very well, thank you.
Good to see you again here on the program. And joining me in studio to engage in the questions. I was going to say to question, to interrogate.
Yes.
Turn on the light over Mr. Ortega and Nia. Is Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Our live line number is 790-2040. Of course, it's open if you would like to ask a question. And maybe make a comment. Mr. Ortega would be more than happy to hear from you. So let's begin right off the bat with the news this week that the president, Donald Trump, signed an executive order to withhold federal grants to communities that protect illegal immigrants. Mike Ortega, there's been some confusion about whether or not Tucson, City of Tucson, is what's called a sanctuary city. What's your understanding?
It is not a sanctuary city. Kind of simple.
Okay.
And people have asked that. I think the mayor, city council, the attorney, and looking at the, we'll call it the discussion, the executive orders that have come out, Tucson is not a sanctuary city. And there's a definition for it, and we don't fall into that definition. And you know, we've double checked that with the attorneys, and we are not a sanctuary city.
What is the definition? And is it something that a city says, hey, we're a sanctuary city, or is there a definition?
Is it a self-designation?
So the executive order refers to, you know, sanctuary jurisdictions, which it basically goes on to define willfully refuse to comply with a certain section. It's 8 U.S.C. 1373, which is a provision in the federal code that, you know, sharing information with federal authorities and actually going through that process. And there is no directive either from the council or from my office or from the police department that any of that information be willfully withheld. And so, you know, the reading based on our attorney and based on the guidance and counsel that they've provided is that we're not in that that category.
What kind of information does that entail?
It doesn't say specifically. And so what it basically says is federal immigration laws and federal constitutional requirements. And so it's very broad in its statement. And since we don't engage in that, we're not in violation of that directive.
Now, the cities like City of Chicago, San Francisco, Boston, I think New York City, some of these big cities, how does that work when federal funds come in? Does that usually come into the pipeline, Mike, on a monthly basis? And if the federal government decided, you know, just to stop this economic pipeline to the cities, that could present problems, because if the city were to take then legal action, that would take time. But meanwhile, bills have to be paid, correct?
Sure. So the vast majority of our federal monies really come in the form of transit, and those are grants or dollars that are put forth for transit purposes. We also get a significant number of dollars for housing. Our housing programs. And so, you know, when those bills come due, if we don't have a source to pay them, that will be an extreme challenge for us. And so when you start looking at the impact, should federal dollars be withheld, and there's a variety of other, I'll call them grants, but other funding sources that come from the federal government. But those are the big ones. You know, when you start looking at transit, you start looking at our housing program, and the vast majority of our housing program is funded out of federal monies. It to shut that down, even for a month or two, is very, very much a challenge for us.
So Tucson is not officially a sanctuary city, but there have been things coming before the mayor and council to say, and the police chief has spoken about this as well. Could you walk us through what the statements from the mayor and council and the police chief have been in terms of what Tucson is willing or not willing to do in relation to federal policy, specifically immigration?
Sure. You know, I'm not really in a position to speak specifically for the council on the topic. I can tell you kind of generally the direction. And the direction is that Tucson is an immigrant welcoming community. And that's not just specific to immigrants, but it's really welcoming to everyone. And I think the council's policies have really outlined that, you know, we welcome everyone here, and the folks that come into our community need to have rights and make sure that they feel welcome and that they feel like they have those rights. And so that's basically, you know, kind of at a high level, 30 or 50,000 foot level, where the council has been. I think you may have heard the chief talked in front of the council and spoke to that point and basically said the same thing.
What specifically, what does that mean? Does that mean that if there's, I don't know, some sort of auto accident or something where police are involved, and do they think there might be someone who is in the country illegally, do they call the feds? What, practically speaking, what does that mean?
So practically speaking, and you know, we'll use your example, obviously, as time goes on, I mean, how do you think someone is here legal or not legal?
Right.
I mean, that's pretty subjective.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, the directive has been that is not a factor in dealing with an accident. I mean, if someone was doing something they shouldn't have been doing that caused the accident, that's the issue initially. Now, if that translates down the road into something else, well, then so be it. But, you know, it's very difficult for an officer to just drive around and say, boy, it looks like you're not here legally. Let's have a conversation around that. And I think that's really the point that the council has made and the chief has reiterated.
Let's go to the live line, 790-2040. Ingrid has called. Hey, Ingrid, how are you?
Good morning, everybody.
Morning. Or morning. Afternoon, we're actually.
Yes, I'm sorry. I'm still, don't know what time it is. Too much is going on.
There you go.
Can we double back for a moment? Because it sounds like we're getting some double talk. What does immigrant-friendly mean? Excuse me, I have to turn off the other phone. Immigrant-friendly. Now, you're saying, well, we welcome everybody. You cannot restrict people from coming into the community. You don't decide who comes into the gate of a community. There's something very wrong, sir, with all due respect, Mr. Ortega, with what you're saying as far as, you know, whether you're violating any laws by not doing this, that, and the other. This doesn't make any sense. and you've been instructed to hide behind certain verbiage that doesn't make any sense. I'm very sorry to have to say that.
Well, Ingrid, that is an assumption on your part, and let's let Mr. Ortega respond to you.
And thank you, Ingrid. I appreciate it. And you know, I'm not trying to double talk or to give you rhetoric. I've basically outlined for you what my understanding is. The question was, you know, how does Tucson address this? And I've outlined that for you. And I think I've tried to be clear. And I think that as we move forward, that conversation will evolve. And with the various discussions that are going on across the nation in the last week, I think that there'll be more discussion and more conversation and potentially even more direction. That's the sum total of it at this point.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. It's 12:15 on The Buckmaster Show. How about the Gypsy Kings to get us into our first break here on The Buckmaster Show? Go ahead, Tom.
Sé que no vendrás, por eso ya tanto la olvido. Dejar un nuevo amor, tanto mejor, ahí como el mío.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster, coming up Monday at noon on The Buckmaster Show, the Monday political face-off with commentators Bruce Ash and Don Jorgensen. Also a newsmaker interview with Senator Kimberly Yee. She is the state Senate Majority Leader. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I like the Gypsy Kings. Have liked them for years, and I realized on our Friday kind of where we do our intermission music, we started off kind of as a 60s kind of music, but now we've expanded it to just some good
music.
Not really rock and roll or anything, just good music. Actually, Gypsy Kings are a group that I think I would really like to see in person. Have you seen them, Sarah?
No, unfortunately, I haven't. But they would be, you would get quite a workout because I don't know how you just stand there without moving.
I think they've been in town. Craig Sumberg is going to be my guest Tuesday from the Fox. I'll have to ask him if Gypsy Kings may be coming to town. Michael Ortega is here. Mike loves music, right?
Absolutely love music.
Mm-hmm. Mike is the city manager here in Tucson. We have a sales tax proposal that will be put before voters in a special election on Tuesday, May
16th.
And that would specifically, most of it would go, I understand, to police and fire infrastructure upgrading their particular
Correct. Capital needs. That's
correct. But there'd be money still for some road work.
That's correct. 40% would be for roads, both arterials and residential.
Where are we in the road 5-year road plan that was adopted?
Most people refer to that as the 409, you know, the Prop 409 roads, and we're in the fourth year now. We've got one more year of improvements to be made under that. I'm very happy to report that we've actually been able to expand that program by about 30%. And the reason for that was we got some bids that were better than what we had projected. And so we're able to actually do more roads. And we had the Bond Oversight Committee look at that closely and help and guide the council on expansion of that program. The current ask that will be before the voters in May, we'll have, again, 40% of that ask is for basically $100 million over 5 years for road improvements. And the about 60% of that is for arterials or collectors, major roads, main roads, and then 40% for residential. And the as you know, driving around, it needs all the help, you know, we can get. And so without federal or state dollars coming towards Tucson, at least in the foreseeable future, we need to do something ourselves. And so, you know, our roads are in such poor shape that we've just got to do something.
Sarah Garrett Gasson is here from the Arizona Daily Star, editorial writer and columnist. Go ahead, Sarah.
With everyone, I think, agrees about roads and police and fire and the necessity for that. What are some other things on the horizon that might not be so readily available to the public that is a pressing need now or is going to be like the next thing down the line that we should be looking out for?
Sure. So, you know, the big area that where we've seen deferred maintenance and will continue to see it, at least for the foreseeable future, is in our parks system. You know, virtually the entirety of our park system is in need of improvement. And, you know, we've got many, many pools that are closed. And it's not just an operational piece, you know, for lifeguards and that and water bill. It's really the infrastructure. The pool itself is cracked and broken and all the things that go along with that. And so those are some things that we need to address down the road. I have suggested the council, that's a conversation for another day, need to put emphasis right now on the, we'll call it the infrastructure, the capital pieces for police and fire, along with our roads. And so the ask on May 16th is for 5 years. It's a 5-year horizon. And then we'll have another conversation about what improvements or what's needed for the community at that time.
And would this go toward increasing salaries?
Or no.
It's a bond election, so it can't, right?
Well, actually, it's not a bond election.
Oh.
So that's a great question.
Okay.
And one of the conversations we had early on with the council was, do we make it a bond election, i.e. property tax? And I suggested not, simply because, you know, I'm looking at pay-as-you-go. You know, let's just, you know, not get into debt on these types of improvements, and so go pay as you go. But the simple answer to your question is no, it is not for salaries or pensions. This is specifically for capital. There is language in the ordinance that basically says, you know, there's no supplanting, so I, you know, can't move money around or can't do all of the things that people think might be able to happen. It's very explicit in the language that no supplanting is allowed.
And we had a email question to me while you were speaking about the special election. Scott wonders, Mike Ortega, what will this cost taxpayers, and why not hold it in November with the general election, with the city election that's coming up?
So the numbers that I've seen is right at about $12 per household per month. Is the cost, and that's based on somewhere between three and about $3 per person per month, and it's between $3 and $4. I forget the exact number, but it's around $12 per month, and so that's basically the ask, is to say, okay, are you willing to pay, you know, about $12 per household per month for better roads and better equipment for fire and police.
And I think this gentleman wanted to know specifically, what does the special election cost? Why hold it in May rather than November?
Sure.
But that was good information that you gave as well about what, if it does pass, what does it mean for the average household?
So the cost of the election, and I'm embarrassed. I don't know the exact number.
Okay.
I believe it's around. I don't want to guess, Bill, because I don't want to give some bum info on that. I apologize.
Right.
I should know that. Mm-hmm. But the other piece of the question is, why May and not November? And what I suggest to the council is, we have basically facilities and equipment and vehicles that are falling apart today. And we need to have the discussion immediately with the voters, and we need to start thinking about that as a part of the budget for next year. So if the voters say yes, then we can have that conversation as a part of the fiscal year 17-18 budget. If the voters say no, then we go back and rethink our strategies. But if we waited until November and the voters approved it, it would be very difficult for me to start making some of the improvements and purchases in 17-18. So just from a logistics standpoint, this made the most sense. It gave us opportunity to fast forward the conversation versus waiting and then having to deal with the logistics of trying to make those expenditures down the road.
There was a police officer right next to me. I had done nothing wrong, but I was just as, as I was.
Thanks for clarifying that,
it'd be
Bill.
Good for but as I was driving into the station on Alvernon, and I was looking over at the cruiser, and it just looked really old. I mean, I don't know what year were some of these vehicles. I hate to say it. It almost looked like a late 80s type vehicle.
So, Bill, one of the issues, and if you look at the fleet, it really is in need of serious improvement and replacement. And you know, the aesthetic is one piece, of course, and we all understand that. But there's a more fundamental piece, which is the mechanical piece. And it really concerns me that we are past the useful life on many, many of the vehicles. And when you start looking at it simplistically, you know, when you call 911, you expect and should have an expectation that folks are going to show up in a reasonable time
rather frame. Than a breakdown on the automobile.
And so all of a sudden we have issues if there is a breakdown. And then we have to start thinking about that from a business standpoint in terms of the liability or exposure for that individual that had the expectation we'd be there on time.
Looking up toward Phoenix with the legislative session, we've been talking a lot about money and needs. What are you seeing and hearing from the legislature at this point? I know it's early, but we have some new leadership up there, and I'm just wondering what we're hearing.
Sarah, the legislature on what? On funding or just
funding,
general?
But just in general. Just in general. I know there's
relationships yeah. with the sure, cities. How sure. does that look?
Well, I'm really pleased to report the mayor and I met with a lot of legislative folks from this region. Cross party lines, and we had a conversation down at City Hall and kind of walked them through, you know, some of the challenges that we face and so forth. Right now, the two things that I'm reacting to, one of them is in, I believe, the governor's budget, a $96 million sweep to DPS from our gas tax, basically from our HERF, and that's how we pay for roads. excuse me, it sure be nice if we could use those dollars for paving roads versus DPS. And it's no slight on DPS. I mean, DPS is extremely important to the state and the safety of the state, but man, it really stings when they take it from our gas tax money. Then the other is in my opinion, more problematic, and that's a run against our GPLAT, or our government property lease excise tax opportunities. And what that basically means is a lot of the improvements and a lot of the investment that's happened downtown use that mechanism, which is a state, and it's in the statute, use that mechanism to basically reinvest tax dollars directly into those improvements, and help downtown and all the things go along with that. Well, there's an effort up north to do away with that, or at least dismantle a good chunk of that. And it's really not necessarily a slight on Tucson. I think there are some other cities up north that the legislature's had some problems and concerns with how they've used their GPLAT. I can tell you that the fundamental pieces of GPLAT for Tucson is an extremely conservative view of the repay on that investment. You know, the council's been very clear that they don't want liberal interpretations of that reinvestment money and how that goes back. It has to be, you know, pass the test, and we have a third party do the analysis, make sure that those dollars are good for the community in the long term.
Getting back to the proposition that will be before the voters, we had a listener who wonders why it's not equal funding for roads and public safety. I think you said it was 40% for roads. Was
that's
that
correct.
Right?
That's yeah. correct, Bill.
So why not just make it 50%?
Sure, sure. And that's actually something we went back and forth on. I can tell you that our need for roads will be forever. I mean, it's just something that, unless something radically changes in the funding formulas, we're just not going to see that, coming from other sources. So we're going to have that. As I looked at and dissected the needs in the public safety arena, I realized that, we've had many years of not replacing police cars like the one that pulled up next to you, Bill,
yeah.
and fire trucks and so forth. And so what I did is suggested to the council may want to consider investing more in public safety for now. And then down the road, we can have a different conversation.
And by the way, speaking of the squad car that pulled up alongside of me, one of our friends has just emailed me and says the Crown Ford Victoria squad car hasn't changed its body style in 20 years. So you really cannot tell the old ones from, quote, the relatively new ones.
It's a classic.
It's a classic. That's what we buy. We buy classics.
Yeah, buy classics. But some of those have been like around a couple of times with the odometer, right? I
mean, yeah, there's we have a lot of vehicles.
250,000.
And for your personal vehicle, you start looking at replacement and, maybe 150 or even more 1,000 miles. But, for a police vehicle, the type of use that they get on a daily basis, day in and day out, they're hard miles. Mm. But the other thing that we've done, Bill, and you mentioned the car, the Crown Vic, we've actually looked at different platforms. And so you see a lot of Tahoes rolling around, and we will probably not be buying a lot more Tahoes. Mm-hmm. We bought them in very specific applications, but we will be looking at different platforms. I mean, we're looking at the Ford Explorers, we're looking at Impalas, we're looking at a variety of different vehicles, so that we're really trying to hone in on, what's the most efficient way to provide that service. And so obviously, we do quite a bit of shopping, and we've got some opportunities to do some changes there.
Well, there's some areas we didn't have time to get into. That's always the case, isn't it, Sarah?
Yes, it is.
We didn't talk about economic development. We had Mike Hammond from PICOR was on this week, and Mike has been, well, he's on the RTA board, and he's been around this town a long time. He said that the economic development climate's the best he's seen ever. So he thinks things are really moving in the right direction with the city and county.
Well, Bill, I think it really is a testament to the team in this region. You know, I think when you look at all of the players, you look at the county, you look at the, you know, Sun Corridor, you look at, you know, the state stepped up in a big way, the city, you know, everybody working together, I think, is why we've seen some of that momentum, and I'm looking forward to continued partnerships across the board to keep that momentum moving.
And for those that say Tucson, and this has been a knock on the city of Tucson for years, it's, quote, not business friendly. Understand you've made a move and with a new hire that you're pretty excited about.
Very excited. Manjeet Renu is joining us. He's coming from the San Diego area, and he's going to be heading up our Plan and Development Services. And I can tell you, I'm extremely proud of the Plan and Development Services staff. You know, they went from about a year and a half ago, 87 employees down to 57, and have really streamlined their processes. And Manjeet's going to come in and help us and really further the conversation about processing and making sure that we can help folks get through that system and take care of business.
I'm sure he's very much aware that the process is in a streamlining mode and needs to be.
And he came anyway.
He came. And he left San Diego for Tucson, which is great. All right. Mike Ortega, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you, Bill.
Appreciate
thank you, Sarah.
Thanks.
We're going to take our break right here. Some more Gypsy Kings from the Gypsy Kings' greatest hits. Take it away, Mr. Fairbanks.
Pienso que un sueño parecido no volverá más. Y me pintaba las manos y la cara de azul. Y de provisa en el viento rápida me debo. Y me echa a volar en el cielo infinito. Volaré, oh, cantaré, oh.
Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. And with almost 60 flights a day taking off from Tucson International Airport nonstop to San Diego, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Oakland, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Denver, Portland, Seattle, Dallas, Houston, Minneapolis, Chicago, Atlanta, New York, and easy one-stop connections to hundreds of destinations around the world, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques? It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. A little bit of Gypsy Kings, our bump music. Shameless plug time. A week from tomorrow, I urge everybody to attend the Bon Voyage Travel Showcase 2017 from noon to 3 at the Westin La Paloma. I'll be there. In fact, I'm going to be actually interviewed about my travels. So that's going to happen at 1 o'clock. At the Westin La Paloma 1 week from tomorrow. So,
and I think we should tell the listeners how many countries you've been to.
100 countries, 6 of the 7 continents have not been to. Pretty much the obvious one, the one at the bottom of the...
Yeah, top or bottom.
Antarctic. And I have not been there, but all 50 states... It's better than half of the Canadian provinces. You've been around. It's what I do. That's Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. And on the live line, Mari Herreras, editor of the Tucson Weekly. Hey, Mari.
Hey, guys. How are you?
How are you doing?
Good.
You were, speaking of traveling, you were in a place that we're going to be going to that I've not been to, Puerto Vallarta. Weren't you over the, you actually drove down to PV, I think, right? Over the holidays?
We did. It's funny because every time we mention that that's how we got there, people are always like, what? What did you do?
That is a long haul, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. It definitely was. And we rethought our decision a couple of times, but other than that...
Then it was too late.
It was too late, exactly. We were on the road. But at the same time, it was actually kind of interesting, you know, to get that experience of using those toll highways, you know, going on the toll highways and eating the taco stands along the trip, you know, along the drive. And I don't know, there was something kind of fun about that, and getting that experience of doing that in Mexico was really cool.
Speaking of Mexico, a nice segue there, right?
Yeah.
The Arizona Daily Star has, they put together, Sarah, you and the team at the Star, the 2016 project on the feasibility of a wall. And what was written a year ago is still very, very pertinent today.
Absolutely. Yeah. A team from the Arizona Daily Star went out 10 years ago, maybe 11 years ago now. The Star deployed people across the border between U.S. and Mexico to report on what is going on, what does it look like, what are the problems, what are the issues, what are some of the solutions people have found. And then last year, when talk of the border wall kept coming up again and again in the presidential election season, the Star sent a really excellent group of reporters and photographers and video journalists to go and kind of retrace their steps. And they went to every state along the U.S.-Mexico border and talked to everyone from residents, ranchers, border patrol agents, people on both in each country, and really did a comprehensive look and came to the conclusion that, first of all, it's physically impossible to construct a wall, as we would think of a wall, across the entire physical barrier.
And that does not get talked about very much.
No, not at all. I think people think that it's just like a line and you can just, like, there's a sidewalk.
I wish some of these people, Mari and Sarah, that talk about this wall would actually come down here to Arizona.
And right. And go more than just to one place, because the topography is it varies from state to state, region to region, and you really see the futility of such a project, because it's not going to keep people out. It's not possible to build, or at least build in a.
And we have a barrier, believe, over most of the Arizona border now.
Yeah. And the other thing that the journalist from the Star found was that it's not needed. It's not going to solve problems with people smuggling, drug smuggling. There's economic ramifications, that it's not practical. And it's something that sounds good, but in practice, it won't work, and it wouldn't do what the proponents think it would.
Just to go with what Fox has been, his tweets, couldn't that money that's being spent on this, the idea of that amount of money, why not spend it on something that that's actually useful, that we need, and rather than a wall that would be useful.
And you're talking about the tweets from the former Mexican president, Vicente Fox, who, by the way, was in Tucson. He's got some good partnerships mm-hmm. that he's developing. He was here, I think, a week or so ago talking with Pima Community College, really doing some wonderful educational partnerships. And getting back to the Tohono O'odham Nation, I believe the 75 miles of sovereign land, this is going to be a huge issue. And I wrote a little bit about this on Facebook. It's my mm-hmm. prediction that this will go all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court mm-hmm. if the federal government insists on building a huge wall on Indian Nation land. The sovereignty of the whole Indian Nation, I believe, will come up and will eventually go to the Supreme Court. That's my prediction.
You're probably right. I think there's so much of this plan that is so complex and nuanced and probably hasn't ever occurred to the person tweeting out these grand ideas or signing executive orders. So, and going back to the cost of it, are there better ways we could be spending our money? I think it's important to notice that that's Americans spending Americans' money. And, Donald Trump can say all he wants that he's going to get Mexico to, quote, pay for the wall, but he's talking about a 20% tax on imports. And who pays that eventually on our food and everything else that comes in from Mexico, especially in this border region? Us, the Americans, buying the things.
Right. And Mari, he walked that back, and then some are saying, well, this is great. He's a businessman. This is a negotiating tactic. He's starting high, and he's going to come down and get something more reasonable. Who knows?
Right. Well, I mean, it's the same thing like saying, what did he say, that Nieto canceled, or that they both mutually agreed to cancel their meetings that they had, when really it was Nieto that finally said, I'm not meeting with you, I mean, he's already been made a fool of once by Trump, let's not have a repeat,
okay.
Which is, at least that's the way I think a lot of people felt in Mexico about the situation when Trump went down there to begin with during the campaign.
All right, let's go to the live line. Hey, Carl, 790-2040, Carl calling us. How are you?
I'm doing fine, and I was taught in one of my law classes mm-hmm. That federal law trumps Indian sovereignty, and that was already decided in the Home Security Act of 2005 when they were building the wall up in California, and they just blew through the California environmental laws.
Okay.
The Indian tribes, as I was told, and I'm sure somebody's going to disagree with me, they have complete sovereignty of their area the same way that Tucson has sovereignty of its physical area within the city limits. But the federal government does trump them. It's the same thing. They can't issue passports, so they're not a sovereign nation. They are Americans subject to U.S. federal laws.
Okay, Carl, I appreciate that that opinion, and there probably is somebody that's going to disagree with it.
It's going to end up in the courts.
Yep, it will end up in the courts. Mari, you want to quickly final comment?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it would end up in the courts because, you know, no matter what, there's, I mean, we've already seen that, I think, with the pipeline issue, and that there have been other battles of other pipelines with other nations besides the Sioux, and those have ended up in the courts. So certainly the wall situation isn't going to be something that's just a tidy thing that gets settled and goes away. And there have already been negotiations with the nation to begin with when Border Patrol has wanted to enter. This doesn't happen. There's always negotiations that take place to begin with.
All right. Well, I'm going to wrap it up. But on a positive note, I had the Speaker of the Arizona House, Mr. J.D. Massard. I hope I get that. I have more trouble with his last name, Mr. Massard. But anyway, the good news is apparently, and Tim Steller writes about this in the Star today, there is this feeling of some move toward nonpartisanship at the Arizona State Legislature this time around.
Yeah, I don't know if you can go as far as nonpartisanship, but I think acknowledging that there is another side. acknowledging of disrespect and working together. I mean, the fact that we're talking about what a great progress it is that, you know, the Republicans are actually deigning to speak to the Democrats and include them, I think speaks to the long history of where we've been in the legislature. But I think it's a good sign.
All right. Mari, thank you very much for being on the line with us. I know you're very busy over there putting out the weekly. Thank you.
Thanks for having me. It's nice to always talk to you guys. Take care.
Bye-bye. Mari Hereras and Sarah Garrett-Gasson. Thank you, Sarah. What's your column coming up on Sunday? Have you put it together yet, or are you going to go back to the office right now?
I'm going to go back to the
office.
Maybe
Bill could give me an idea. Do you have some ideas?
No, actually, I have a topic. I've been receiving a lot of calls and messages about people who want to contact their congressional representatives having a hard time getting through, so I'm addressing that. And what it really comes down to is there hasn't been this level of constituent participation before, and so it's working.
Well, that's good that people want to get involved.
Yes,
all right.
They do.
Sarah, have a great weekend.
You too.
All right. We'll be right back. The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. Almost 60 flights take off every day from Tucson International Airport and announcing the newest destination, New York.
American Airlines, now boarding nonstop to JFK.
Daily nonstop service to New York starts October 7th with connections across the Atlantic and throughout the Northeast. Now with 18 nonstop destinations from Tucson, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust.
That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We bring you national stories ignored by the mainstream media. Sources include the Washington Times News Service, Personal Liberty Digest, the National Center for Policy Analysis, the Washington Free Beacon, and the Heartland Institute. It is national news coverage from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
Weekend Watch is presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, a beautiful area of the southwestern United States. Log on to southwestnewmexico.org. All the information about the many recreation opportunities just 3 hours east of Tucson, and some really great places to stay and eat in the historic downtown Silver City area. And speaking of great places to eat and things to do, Weekend Watch is hosted by award-winning Tucson publicist, dedicated foodie, and Inside Tucson business food and beverage columnist, Mr. Matt Russell. How are you, Matt?
Bill, I'm doing great. Thinking about taking the rest of the day off. I'll just need a note for my clients. So you can get a little waiver if that's okay.
Anything going on downtown?
Yeah, well, you know what? If you head over to 44th Street, actually just east of Dodge, not too far from where you're sitting right now, Bill.
Yeah, kind of the industrial district. Yeah.
Exactly right. You're going to find what is commonly called sort of that craft beverage industrial district. And tomorrow from noon to 4, craft beverages will be showcased at the monthly 4th on 44th event, which means every fourth Saturday of the month, they kind of rope off the parking lot there on the 3800 block of 44th Street and host tastings from craft brewers and distillers, even coffee roasters, all of whom call that area home. Live music and food trucks take it up a notch. It all happens tomorrow from noon to 4. I'll be getting my craft on this weekend.
There you go. Anybody rolling out a new menu this weekend?
Absolutely, Bill. You know, in the shadows of the U of A on East 6th Street, the popular Brew of A restaurant and pub has just rolled out their new menu, and it's already attracting a lot of buzz. It's designed by Chef Ken Foy over at Dante's Fire, and it's kind of a scratch version of an old back east tavern-style cuisine with a bit of a nod to our sort of Tucson food scene. Think American version of the classic Irish pub and motif. We're talking chicken pot pie with a house-made crust and pork schnitzel with a caper butter sauce. Perfect for the weekend. Build your own burgers. It's all happening at Brew of A this weekend.
Tom Fairbanks was taking some notes there. His mouth is just watering listening to that. Hey, Matt, any brunch ideas for our listeners?
Yeah, you know, I love the perfectly crafted mimosa on a Sunday morning with just the right ratio of champagne and orange juice. But our friends over at Prep and Pastry are sort of taking the mimosa experience to new heights with more than 10 different variations on the mimosa theme. Bill, it's not just about OJ anymore. We're talking guava juice, grapefruit juice, fresh peaches, blueberries, even a mimosa made with blackberry sage tea.
Oh, my goodness.
You can definitely make some memorable mimosas part of your weekend plan. Say that three times fast.
Yeah.
At either location of Prep and Pastry, I'm off to a great weekend.
You are off to a terrific start. Have a good weekend, Mr. Russell.
Right back to you, Bill.
Thanks a lot, Matt Russell, with Weekend Watch. All right. Great show Charles Heller has put together for Sunday. He's got Emmy Award-winning Frank Sesno. Frank is chair of the George Washington University Communications Department. He's the author of a new book called Ask More. And so they're going to do 90 minutes, a rare 90-minute interview at 11 a.m. right after Swap Shop. I will certainly be listening to that. That's going to be a great show. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, wholly responsible for its content. On behalf of so many people here at the station, Doug and Mary Martin, the owners, Ray Allen, our operations manager, Tom Fairbanks, Ed Alexander, Jerry Cross, all of the fine ladies up front, Alisa, Elsa, Rhonda, everybody doing a great job. Thanks to Christophan, our German friend, for the music, original music on The Buckmaster Show. And of course, I cannot forget Rosemary Brandt, who takes care of all of our podcasts. Been with me since day one on the radio project 6 years ago. Have a great afternoon and evening.